baby vile and pernicious, but you cannot wait. I make you think I'm delicious with the stuff that I say. I'm the best you can get. Have you guessed me yet? I'm the slap oozing out from your TV set. You will obey me when I need you and eat the garbage that I feed you until the day that we don't need you.
You help, no one will heed you.
Your mind is totally controlled, has been stuffed into my mold, and you will do as you are told until the rights to you are sold.
A cover version of Frank Zappa's I'm the Slime by Erika Stucki. The Swiss performance artist has been described as a cross between Zappa, Laurie Anderson, and Pippi Longstocking. She yodels, too. Stucki has just released an album of live tracks recorded over the past 25 years. The songs are quirky interpretations of pop and rock classics, ranging from Doris Day's Que Sera to My Sharona by the Knack, and even rapper Eminem's Lose Yourself. Swiss Info's Dale Bechtel talked to Stucki before a concert in Thun and began by asking her how she felt to be considered an anti-Heidi or diva of yodel punk.
Those are just names hang up. Maybe think of nicknames. That's something press people like. When somebody asks me, a musician, I meet a musician backstage and at a festival, and he says, well, what do you do? I say, I sing. Then I go on like, it's not classical. It's more in the jazz, blues, rock section. A lot of my own stuff. And then I have these yodel moments, these Swiss yodel, cowboy yodel, African moments. Plus, I synchronize my little movies. And with those four sentences, I think I cover quite a lot. The diva thing, yeah. I've been touring for 25 years, so I guess you have to kind of live with those stamps they give you. And they're fun. Auntie Heidi, sure. I don't mind.
Do they sell CDs?
No. I don't think it's a label that will sell CDs. I'm the girl selling CDs after the gig, looking into the people's eyes, and then signing them for them. That sells.
You've just released a new album, and it is a CD of unreleased tracks from live performance, spanning, as you said, the 25 years that you've been performing. And the CD is full of chart-topping pop, rock, blues, even hip-hop songs, tracks, and they're your interpretations of these classics, if I can call them that. But your approach is anything but conventional. Can you describe, for example, how you approach a song that's in everyone's minds? Let's take, for example, a track that's on the new CD, My Sharona by the Knack, or Black Dog by Led Zeppelin.
My Sharona's easy. That's a... There you know, it's so rhythmical. That's easy for a tuba to kind of... That would work tuba and voice only. And since I do it with two tubas and voice, it's just the other... It's a little clin d'oeil to put two tubas on it. Maybe a better example would be Sting's Roxanne. Everybody knows Roxanne. You don't have to put on the red light. And me as a musician, I listen to the song and I try to figure out where are the bones, where's the skeleton. It's definitely the bass line. And then I hear maybe another, of course, the main voice. You don't have to put on the red light. But then there's this, and I let the trombone do that. It's like three singers, tuba, trombone, and voice, and you do a world hit song with those three. you really have to concentrate on what's necessary. And what a great exercise in life in general to just concentrate on what's necessary. What, I have a tea in front of me here. I want ginger in it, water, honey. That's it. The best beverage I can think of before a gig.
You're Swiss, but you grew up, or at least you spent the first 10 years of your life in San Francisco. You describe the move from that big city, which is multicultural, open, it faces the sea, and you moved at the age of 10 with your parents to a small alpine village, very culturally conservative, confined or you know, hemmed in by the mountains. How did that influence the way or the musical path that you eventually took when you became an adult?
Nowadays, as a grown-up, I read in the newspapers, Erika Stucki had a culture shock when she came from San Francisco to Valdez.
So those words never came from you?
I would never call it a culture shock, because as a kid, you just go along with it. You just think everybody does that, don't they? All kind of move from a city to a little village. That's what people do. They move. As a kid, you're so tolerant. You just accept what they give you and you go along. And as a grown-up, you reflect on it and you say, woof, that was quite a shock, actually. But when you're in it, you don't. I didn't come up with that word culture shock, but I use it because I understand that somebody who didn't have that grave moment in their life or that transition, they might want to call it a shock. For the music, it was only enriching but enriching to me to have Donovan in my ears or Bob Dylan and then have the Jodelchör and the Trachtenverein and and then, oh, that goes together with I Am the Slime from radio or from your video. And to me, that all made sense. I just, like a cook, I just put into the soup what I had. So I would say that shock was great.
I ain't looking to compete with you. Beat or cheat or mistreat you. Simplify you or classify you. Denitify or crucify you. No lie, really.
At what point, though, did the yodeling, the traditional Swiss folk music, did it really, let's say, enter your ear and stay there?
Every Saturday, we were at the Swiss Club. Saturday, mostly also Sundays, if I remember well. Swiss Club was the name in San Francisco, and all the Swiss got together, and we had our Vicutoriani and Boss Bube and Freddy Buri. He was the guy from Lucerne. That was my first close touch, bass touch, bass with yodel. That was him yodeling in Disneyland, Freddy Buri. Then going to Switzerland, I was in the Trachtenverein, in that club, in that folklore club. There I sang.
Voluntarily? As a child?
Yeah, because all the other nice kids and cute boys from the village were there, so you wanted to be there. That was the place to go. And there I sang my first Über Zalpeli Binkange, so that was a yodel thing too. But then at jazz school, I didn't even think about it. I wanted to sing Ella Fitzgerald and Billie Holiday. And it was later that George Grunz brought me back to the real archaic, really, not so much that, like I was telling you, the Disneyland, Lederhosen yodels, but these real old Zeuerlis that we have in Switzerland. He had done a great job in finding them and looking for them and traveling to go see those guys who yodel that way. And I profited so much from Hans Kennel and George Grunz.
When we look at the yodel and what you've done with it, I mean, you've really, as you said, you've gone back to the very origins, but you've also taken it from the contemporary view of the yodel, or what, you know, the viewpoint that most people have of it, and you've kind of taken it from the traditional folklore scene and put it on the fringe, the experimental fringe almost. Have you also received criticism from some folk music circles for doing that?
I think wanting to go farther with the yodel or wanting to lean out the wind a little more comes from the jazz philosophy. A jazz musician constantly invents himself on stage and wants to try something new, surprise himself. It's different than a folklore program. If you're a jazz musician, you're a jazz musician all the way. Your bones and your muscles are full of this wanting to expand. So me kind of pushing around with the yodels and stretching them so they fit me and my philosophy surely has a lot to do with the jazz philosophy. And of course, the folklorists who were very traditional, who are very traditional in Switzerland, it's scary when this cowboy yodeler girl comes and takes one of their yodels, or at least they sound like some of their yodels, or is it not? Or, hey, what is she doing? That's scary. But if I wanted to always try to not scare people, I'd bore myself. So it's not so much that I want to scare others than surprise myself. And the price that I pay is sometimes that people go, oh, but that's not really traditional, and oh, she's, mm-mm. I think I have to live with that. Instead of talking about yodels and how they're different, maybe I just should give you some mini examples. Austrian speed yodel, the ones you see on the Musikantenstadl with the dirndls and the tight breastises. Very high. Very different than the Swiss ones, or more like the... At the end, they let it drop for an octave. Also different than the African pygmy yodels. More rhythmical, more shorter, more... Maybe also some kind of a cowboy. More A in E's. But maybe I should give you a longer Swiss Zäuerli to listen into. More O's and O's. Darker, sadder. Yo lo lo lo.